nothing like the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So in his presence, be free to worship, to praise, to raise your hands, because his presence is like almost like heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With his fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Is heaven to me.
face one more time. Sing, oh Jesus. Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Living hope.
give the Lord a hand of praise in this place and begin to thank Him for His presence right where you are. Let's close our eyes, let's lift our hands and begin to thank God for who He is to us. Lord, we give You glory. Come on, open up your mouth and begin to release your own praise to Him right now all over this building. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You, God, that You never leave us nor forsake us, that You're always with us, God, that You go before us and You come behind. You are our rear guard, Father. You fight our battles for us. Lord, You are seated high upon the throne of our lives, and we give You praise. We say, Jesus, come and have Your way in our midst. We're hungry for You, Lord. Come on, release your prayer to the Lord right now. Don't make me do all the work. Come on, just begin to enter in deeper. Let the Holy Spirit touch you right where you are. Begin to ask Him for Your presence. Begin to ask Him to invade your life. Ask Him for the peace of God, the peace of God. The peace of God right in the midst of your situation. He's able. He's here. And He's able. God is moving. If we'll just let Him come and have His way in our hearts, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, begin to let God, let go and let God and let His presence invade your life. Come on, let's sing that chorus again. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here.
Place and fill the air.
Sing it out.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come flood this place and
this place. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, have Your way. Come and have Your way.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome.
Here, sing it out.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Stay right there. Stay right there. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome.
Oh, You're welcome, Lord.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Come flood this place.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence.
One more time. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Just another moment in His presence. This is the most still that some of us will be all week. God, I thank You for Your peace that calms the storm. I thank you for your peace that anchors us in the midst of it all. The peace of God, the breath of God. You said in your word, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I ask that you would blanket us with your peace right now, your shalom, your fullness, your wholeness, peace in every area of our lives, God, in our health, in our finances, in our emotions, in our bodies, Lord, in all that we are, God, fill us with peace and contentment, peace and satisfaction. You are the Prince of Peace, and there is nothing that can overcome who you are. Thank you, Prince of Peace. Thank you. Oh, Shanda Babaye, Sanda Balaye. There it is. There it is. He's moving in this room. Jesus. Jesus. If you don't feel that, ask him to let you feel it right now. We don't want to rush past this moment as we delight in his presence. Across this room, that you're touching us in the depths of our beings, our inmost being. Oh, there's no one like you, Lord. There's no one who can give us peace the way that you do. The shalom of God. Shalom Adonai. Let your cup overflow right now. Thank you.
God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence.
Just softly sing it again. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by.
One more time, sing it out. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a big hand of praise all over this place. Love the Lord today. Come on, give Him praise. Lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the house. We are so glad that you're here today. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. Please meet us in the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to our church. We have a lot going on today. As you can see, there's a bake sale happening in the foyer that is supporting the youth group. They're getting ready to go to the Fine Arts Festival. And that is the national festival. They've advanced to the national level, and so we want to make sure that we're sending them off in a good way. And we also have a couple of other things going on. This week, there is a Wednesday night service, in fact, all the way through the end of next month. There's going to be Word and Worship. Word and Worship. Our very own senior pastor, Wallace Phillips, is teaching on the spiritual gifts. So what you receive on a Sunday morning is preaching. That's encouragement. That's getting you through the week. But you know what? You need to be grounded in the Word. You need to know your Bible. And you need to know what is this Christian walk that we're walking? What is it to be equipped? What is it to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? And so we want you to come out this Wednesday, 7 p.m., and come be equipped in the gifts of the Spirit and come receive discipleship and training and teaching in the Word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we also have a men's event coming up on Friday night, March. I'm still in March, y'all. It's been a quick year for me. May 19th, we're having Trucks and Butts. Now, I didn't come up with that name, so don't blame me, okay? But I'm guessing there's Boston Butt on the menu, all right? So men, come out for Trucks and Butts. At this time, we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. If you want to go ahead and make your way forward to drop your checks and cash in the buckets, you can do that at this time. There are other ways to give. You can give by PushPay, and you can do that by going to our website. You can do it on our mobile app, the My Church app. You can also do so by text. And please include your email on your tithe envelope if you'd like to receive a giving receipt. And I'm so excited as the worship team comes back up. I'm so excited. How many of you love Daryl? Come on, can we give a hand for Daryl? Daryl, I've missed your voice. I've missed your voice. And so, come on, Daryl, let's lead us in a song.
Awesome. He's a hero.
He will save you. And that right there is enough to tell him thank you for being the same God each and every day.
I'm calling on the God of the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock, oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
Come on, give it up for the Lord today. A faithful God. Come on. A faithful God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember, it's probably been about 3 years ago. You can be seated. Maybe about 3 years ago, Daryl was driving the church bus for us. We don't have a bus any longer, but we're working on replacing that. Amen. But Daryl was driving the bus for us, and they were having a meeting at one of our Barnabas properties, and they asked me to come and share a devotion for a few moments. I forget which group it was, but I went and shared devotion. So they just said, look, you don't have to be there the whole time. You can just show up and do the devotion, and then you can exit if you've got other things going on. So that's what I did. And I pulled up into the yard, and I saw the church bus, and I thought, well, I'm a few minutes early, so I just stood there for a few moments and kind of got my thoughts together, collected my thoughts, and I just heard this voice singing. I thought, who in the world's singing? And I went around the side of that bus and looked down the side of it, and Daryl's leaning up on the side of the bus, doing about like he was just doing right then. Come on, y'all. All right. And when I looked at Daryl, he looked at me, he stopped. I said, man, don't stop. Come on, don't stop. I said, but you need to be singing. We got you up here driving a bus, and you need to be singing. So he came and joined the worship team. Are you glad that Daryl joined the worship team? Come on. I am too, and guess what? Daryl, I'm with you, man. I'm glad he's the same God. Because I know I've changed along the way. You know, I go up and down. How many of y'all have a yo-yo life sometime? Come on. You know you are. Come on, punch your neighbor and say, you know you are. You're just a yo-yo. Come on. Some days you're good. Some days you're not so good. Amen. Father, I bless you today. Thank you that you're the same God. You never change. Your word declares you're the Lord thy God and you change not. You're so faithful. You're so faithful. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful to forgive. Come on, somebody needed to hear that. Faithful to forgive. Faithful to wash clean. Faithful to restore. Faithful to renew. Faithful to heal. Faithful God. Faithful God. God, be faithful to us today. And as your word is presented today, God, would you just allow it to find a lodging place into the heart, the mind, and the spirit of every person, God, in this room and even outside of this room, God, to the nations of the earth. We give you thanks, God. Move today. Be the same God today. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time for the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, happy Mother's Day. Amen. To our moms in the house. Praise the Lord. We'll bless you a little later with a gift in the service. We have something special for you. Monumental faith. We've been on this for weeks. Today's my last message on the Monumental Faith series. I know some people thought, well, you know, I guess he'll just preach a Mother's Day message. Well, this is Mother's Day, and I will preach about a woman today. And I've titled the message, Woman of Faith. Woman of Faith. Praise God. You got to remember faith, and we've deeply embedded some thoughts and some principles in your minds and in your heart. I hope you've saved these messages. If you haven't, you just can go back to YouTube, CSIC Media Channel, or Facebook archives. You can find those messages there. But I hope you've allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We've discovered that faith does some powerful things. Number one, it hears the inaudible. Your faith, somebody say my faith, will cause you to hear something that maybe the next guy or the next gal wouldn't hear, because you're attuned to hear thus saith the Lord. Hear his will, his direction for you. Faith sees the invisible. When some people say, man, what are you thinking? I just don't see that happen. You say, you just don't know my God. Come on. You just don't know my God. And then God does the impossible. With men, the Bible says, some things are impossible. But with God, amen, with God, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. And we've learned in Hebrews that the definition just leaps from the page of chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of what you and I are hoping for. It takes faith for salvation. We're hoping one day for the culmination of all of that, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We're looking for that moment when Christ comes back and he takes the church away. It's called the what? The rapture. The word's not in the Bible, but the principle is. The catching away. The substance of what we're hoping for and the evidence of that, here we go, which we cannot see. You can't see it. And sometimes, man, you're called to believe the impossible when you really can't see how it would work out. And then God just does a supernatural exchange. We don't get it. You know, we just say, man, have you ever just been to court? You know, how many of y'all been to court and you just knew you were guilty? Come on, raise your hand. Let everybody in the world see you. Come on. I've seen some of y'all in there before. All right. I've represented you. And the pastor's here, you know, Pastor Phillips from Carpenter Shop. You've asked me to be your character reference. So when I ask you to raise your hand, stand up with your hand raised, okay? Yes. But how many of you knew, listen, you knew you were guilty, but somehow or another you didn't get that charge. You didn't get that thing all the way through. You didn't get indicted. Some of y'all are saying, man, I just wish he'd get off this subject. And I, you know, here I am, man. Many times I deserve to be taken to court and taken to jail, and I just missed it, okay? Somebody say mercy. Come on. I did. I deserve that. Many times I found myself in a situation where I knew I was wrong and I didn't get caught. Amen. Don't y'all look at me like, man, I can't believe that. You're the same way. You should have got caught. Amen. Mercy. But you understand that sometimes faith just is called upon for you to see the impossible. You know, I've been to court with some people sitting in this room and they were worried to death. And I just said, you know what, don't worry about it. Listen, God is going to help you here. Well, I sure hope he does. I sure what? I sure hope he does. That's what faith is. It's hope. And I've left the courthouse many times. And the person say to me, Pastor, I just can't believe this. I say, look, you know, you and I know you did something wrong, okay? But somehow God allowed you to receive something today. And I hope you remember that. I hope you remember that you didn't get what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Come on. Have you studied mercy? That's when you don't get what you really should have. You don't get what you should have gotten. And that's the mercy of God. And guess what? Everybody in this room, we're walking in mercy. If we got what we deserved, we'd just get hell because we're sinners. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, because he so loved us. God sent not his Son into the world to do what? To condemn you, but to love you. We're going to hear about a woman today that experienced that very thing. So it's the evidence of that which we cannot see. We also learn that faith does what? It pleases God. Faith pleases God. I hope that you have hidden the word of God in your spirit in these last several weeks, because you're going to need that in this next season. God always plants a word in you that you're going to need, okay? You're going to need faith in God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's not just a man thing. It's not just a man thing. You know, we've looked at tremendous examples. We looked at Enoch who walked with God. We looked at Noah. We looked at Abraham. It's not just a man thing. It isn't. But rather, women are called to be godly examples of faith as well. Faith is for everyone. And so we celebrate you today, women. We celebrate the mothers. And it is not just a man thing. Look at Hebrews 11:11. Hebrews 11:11 says this, and by faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, look at this, because she considered him faithful who made the promise. Amen? Because she considered him faithful. She trusted God. Now, you know, she had a track record. Her and Abraham had a track record. They tried to get in there and help God. How many of y'all remember that? Hey, Hagar, come here. 25 years, no baby. You don't, listen, when you're holding out on something, just hold out, okay? Let God show up. Don't try to help him. Because they tried to help God, we have a world today that is totally against the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it's called? Anybody? Islam. Some of y'all look at me like, what? What's he talking about? God was not slack concerning his promises. So he poured out blessing upon that child. Okay? But the oil in the ground was not intended to propagate Islam. The oil in the earth that is so rich, that has made so many people rich. Remember last week we were talking about Muslim sheikhs sitting in the airport in Dubai when I was in there? The oil in the earth was meant, somebody say meant, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because God's not slack on his promises, this is deep for some of y'all. Just think about it later, okay? Because I do preach, but I also do what? Teach. That was intended to propagate the gospel, but now we've ended up with another man, another blessing, and that is the Islamic move, because Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. Just hold out. Just hold out. And now we have this religion that fights Christianity. Okay? And we have a world messed up because we have two major world religions that are as different as salt is from pepper. They're opposite. They're against one another. Okay? And here, look at Hebrews 11:31. Sarah was a woman of faith, but also, check this out. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, here we go, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Did you catch this? By faith, Rahab. She made the great list of the scholars that call this the Hall of Faith. You know, Hebrews 11 call it the Hall of Faith. It's like a hall of fame for this faithful world. She made the list. Rahab made the list. Listen, I know some church folk who would have kicked her out. I know some church folk would be like, girl, you see who was at CSIC today? Did you see who was at church today? She got the nerve. Come on, are y'all seeing what I'm seeing here? This is a prostitute. She done showed up at Carpenter Shop. Girl, you see who's at church today? I know, right? Okay. That's what Christians do, isn't it? That's what some of them do. Some of them talk about who was there and how dare they be there. Okay? Rahab was a woman of faith. So embedded in the Hall of Faith chapter is a harlot. Rahab, not only is she embedded in the Hall of Faith, but you can easily say that Jesus had a prostitute in his family line. How many of you guys here today have some characters in your family line? Come on. I got one more question for you. How many of you are characters? Okay. Come on. How many of you were characters? Come on. You know you were. The Bible commends the faith of Rahab, highlights the faith of this prostitute. Rahab was doing her job. Scholars note that she really was an innkeeper. She had a place. Now, for those of you who've been to Israel, you know how big the wall is, okay? I mean, when you walk through those walls, there's depth in those walls, and as you walk underground, not underground, but as you walk under the temple areas, you see that you can not only walk through there, but you can live there, because everything that you're walking by in the temple wall areas are doors. People live there. People have businesses there, okay? So Rahab lived in that temple wall area, that city wall area. She lived there. She did business there. And scholars believe that she was, in fact, an innkeeper. But the words that are used to describe her kind of throw a little different understanding in what she did. So she's commended. Why was she commended, Pastor? Because she peaceably received the spies that came to her place, which was positioned in the city wall, Rachel's place. And then secondly, she was commended because she received the salvation that she believed she should have, and she did have, when the unbelieving inhabitants of Jericho, those who were worshiping pagan God, were attacked. God saw that she was protected because she was a chosen informant, okay? She was a chosen informant. Rahab, you might think of her profession. You might think that because of her profession, she was destined to die an early death. You might think that she would kind of just fade away with a life of shame. Have you ever heard someone say such a critical thing as this, or a negative thing about a drug addict or a person who has an ungodly habit? Oh, you wait. It's going to get them one day. Have you ever said that about somebody? Have you ever thought, hey, you know, let them keep on, man. It's going to catch them one day. And sadly, guess what? It does. It does. Sometimes it does. To our disappointment, to our sadness. That's probably what was said about Rahab. One of them men going to kill her one day. We know what she's doing up in that hotel. One of them men's going to kill her. Going to use her and leave her for dead. Rahab was like that relative in the family tree that we prefer just not to talk about. Somebody will ask you about one of your relatives. Hey, how's he doing? Well, he's still doing the same thing. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all quiet today. Maybe y'all got a bunch of these in your family. Okay. Maybe you don't want to face the reality that you do have some people like this in your family. That's the kind of thing that, you know, we prefer just to keep in the shadows. You might think any or all of these things because Rahab was a prostitute. It was about 1250 BC, 1250 years before Christ, that there came a pivotal point in the story of the Middle East when God's judgment came to an unrepentant people. Remember, God had promised what? He promised the land. Remember, in the book of Exodus, you can read about it. He's promised a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with abundant dates growing on the trees, a land with plenty of goats and plenty of sheep. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But God did promise the land, but there was a condition to it. The condition was that you have to drive out the inhabitants, the pagan worshipers who were there. And the very first case, the very first city of conquest for the children of Israel was what city? Jericho. Jericho, that city where Zacchaeus lived. Jericho, that city of palms, that little oasis in the desert. It's a beautiful little town. I always love to go there. I love Jericho. Rahab shows up in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, that marks the moment and describes the first moment of the conquest of Canaan, the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 2, we're looking at verses 1 to 15. Let the scripture do the preaching. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies. We know that Caleb was one of them. Some people say Joshua and Caleb. Some people say Caleb and someone else. They sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. That seemed kind of quick, didn't it? Go look. And they ended up in the house of a prostitute. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who come to you. Can you just see what's happening here? There's a red light district going on. And how many of you know that a lot of times, you know, you see this. Look, there's places like Fayetteville. You go to Fayetteville, there's a bad district in Fayetteville. You can go just about every city, and there's a bad district down there. Women are on the streets. Bars are open. Music's blaring loud. People are drinking and carrying on. You know what I'm talking about? And so here, the king is privy to this. He knows what's going on. The cities know where their bad spots are. Okay? So the king of Jericho sent the message to Rahab. Listen, you see these guys? You see these spies show up at your place? Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men, look at this, and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they had come from. At dusk, verse number 5, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went, okay? She has no idea, she says. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You might be able to catch them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the Bible says the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, this is what she told them. She said, listen, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that great fear of you has fallen on us, on our people, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord you serve, we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did at Sihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites east of the Jordan whom you completely destroyed. She said, we know all this. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Do you see what Rahab's professing here? She is saying, listen, my life might be jacked up, but I got sense enough to know that the God you serve, he's done some wild stuff. He split seas and people walk across on dry land. He's the God of heaven above and he's God on the earth below. Now then, please swear. Listen, she's bargaining, man. She made all kinds of deals in her life, but this is a different deal. She said, now you please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And verse 14, what does he say? Hey, Rahab, our lives are your lives, okay? We're going to look out for you just like we look out for our own soldiers. The men assured her, if you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She's a smooth operator. Come on. She is. She's a smooth operator. She put business on hold, man. She said, look, I don't want to die. I don't want to deal with these guys. There was a place in that village of Jericho that was debaucherous. Normal part of town where the brothers gathered, the bars opened, the red light district was alive. You must understand that there have always been those parts of towns and villages. Ahoski has theirs. Okay? Everybody used to be talking about, oh, man, First and Maple, First and Maple, First and Maple. Can I just tell you something? There's more than First and Maple in Ahoski now. We got problems. Okay? And towns and villages have always functioned with these infamous meeting places for military espionage, you know, the hot spots where the spies hang out. So we must not be surprised that Joshua's advanced team knew to go to the hot spot. They knew to find the place like Rachel's place. Some branches of Jewish tradition say that she was nothing more than the motel manager. But it's interesting when you study the passage and you look at the word in Hebrews 11:31. When you look at that word, it appears in Hebrew as Zona, Z-O-N-A. Now some of you may say, well, you know, I'll just listen to what he says. This is too hard. I'm just giving you the reality of how I come up with this. It says Zona. Zona in Hebrew, remember I told you a few weeks ago, when you have a commentary and you see LXX, that means it's the Septuagint. That's like you saying, hey, I use the NIV or the NS or the ESV or the NLT or the King James Version. The Septuagint was the version of the Old Covenant, the Hebrew Old Testament, transferred into the New Testament, the Septuagint. And so here we have this word Zona appearing that translates in the LXX or the Septuagint. It translates to what? Porn. It transliterates the word down to whore, okay? W-H-O-R-E. Talking about Rahab. She's not the hotel manager. She's a whore, okay? And so the Bible, in one translation or another, the Bible says she was a prostitute. And so scholars have discovered that that's what this comes from. She said, no, somebody said, oh, no, she was just running a motel. She was running the hotel, but she also used the hotel for her own personal gain in the oldest business of time. Okay? She was selling herself. Rahab was this hotel operator who sadly found other ways of bringing in revenue. And of course, historically, Canaanites, if you read the Bible, you understand, Canaanites were famous for this. And that kind of influence rolls on over into New Testament understanding and New Testament times, because when Paul establishes a church at Corinth, I've taught you this before, when Paul establishes a church at Corinth, Corinth became known as what? The city of 1,000 prostitutes. Because at nighttime, when that little narrow strip of land came in, the boats were parked, and they had to unload everything, no pallet jacks, no airplanes, nothing like that. They had to do it all by hand. And so they parked the boats, and the captains of the ships hung around town all the time. And at night, they went out, and they went out on the town, and they found the hot spots in Corinth. This is not a new thing. This is not a new thing at all. And so there's more to the story of Rahab. So much more. Rahab, through her lifestyle, she got messed up. She did recognize the God of Israel. She trusted in him for the righteousness, here we go, that she could not produce in herself. She trusted for the righteousness that she could not find in her own life. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Look at what she says. I'm going to read it to you again. I know that the Lord has given you the land. See, they haven't even conquered Jericho yet. But she was going on what? She was going on the reputation of the strength of the children of Israel. She was going on their reputation. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we've heard the God that you serve dries up waters, causes seas to split and you walk across on dry land. I'm paraphrasing. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. Then there was no spirit left in any because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Whatever Rahab was before Israel crossed into the land of the Canaanites, she became someone new in the promised land. And for Rahab did what? She believed. Listen, Rahab didn't have a Christ to put her faith in. Would you come down to the altar, Rahab, give your heart to Jesus, pray the prayer? She didn't have that. All she had was the track record of God's people. The Bible says that Abraham did what? He believed. And it was credited to him as what? Righteousness. Rahab believed. But she was a prostitute. She believed. And she also acted. She trusted God, who fulfilled the covenantal promise to Abraham that he would be given land from which would bring a nation, and also that he would bring a descendant who would bless the earth. And we must also remember that this woman, Rahab, was chosen by God. James 2:25 says it like this in the New Testament. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? In other words, James was teaching us that faith without works is dead. Rahab expressed faith. She believed, but she also did something. She was an informant. She said, I'll make a deal with you. One of the problems with the church today is we don't want to deal with sin in people's lives. I said one of the problems we have today is we don't want to deal with the sin in people's lives. They're trifling ways. We want to grow the church, but we want it to be good people from other churches. We've circulated enough people in the circulation of the saints. We've circulated enough. We need people who come out of darkness into the light of the gospel. We need people whose lives are changed and transformed because of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because you know what I've discovered? When you just come from another church, you bring a long list of expectations. Okay? I like those people that get saved that they never have any church background at all. That's really nice. We don't trust or want to deal with sin. And secondly, we've forgotten our own sin. Isaiah said it well when he prophesied the Messiah in Isaiah 53:6. Look at what he says. He says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Listen, when we look at people that's come into church and we look at someone who just started attending or they came last week or they're here today, look at there. You know her? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know her. You know who that guy is? Oh, yeah, I know him. And we start in our own thought processes, we start making judgments about people. Can I just tell you something? Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for prostitutes like Rahab. Jesus died for drunkards, alcoholics, and misfits, confused people, misunderstood people. Jesus died for us all. I remember Dr. Jack Sharp, our pastor in Lakeland, Florida. He said, Christianity is an unusual religion. It's a religion for weak people. I thought, what's he talking about? He said, Christianity is for weak folks who can't control their lives. Weakened by the cause of sin. Weakened by the influence of ungodly things. And we need a Savior so bad. I had to listen to what he was saying to get what he was talking about. Christianity is really a good alternative for weaklings and misfits, he said. And it's so true. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my friends, as you have obeyed always, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You and I are in the process. Yes, our lives have been transformed. We talked about this Wednesday night. Yes, our lives have been transformed by the power of the cross. Some of it is instantaneous, but you know what I've discovered? There's a whole lot of it that is not instantaneous. God still has things he wants to do in my life and in your life, and we work out our salvation with fear and trust and reverence to God, knowing that he's patient with us, long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we would live a life of what? Repentance. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Will you cleanse me? Will you take this thing from me? See? And you have to realize, listen, there's a lot of things that come under the realm of progressive sanctification in your life. How many of you still got a nasty mouth? Don't raise your hand. But some of you do. Some of you got a nasty mouth. How many of you have some vice in your life that, you know what, I've been able to conquer this, man, but I just can't seem to lay this down. Come on. Welcome to life and living. Because you will always be in that battle. I think I said Wednesday night, you will never have gotten it right until we come to the church to look down at you and you're laying in there and the funeral home's already dealt with you. You say, don't he just look like he ought to just smile at us? Don't she look so good? That's when you've finished the race, okay? But until then, beloved, you will deal with flesh, okay? And your job and my job is to bring that under subjection to God, who has the strength to change you and transform you. That's why Paul said, I have to do what? I have to die daily, okay? I have to die daily. You and I are saved the moment that we come and confess we need a Savior. We're saved immediately, but it takes some time, sometimes for us to look like it, to act like it, to live like it wholeheartedly. It takes us a while sometimes. You remember we mentioned the doctrine of sanctification Wednesday night. Sometimes it just takes a while. Some of you may need a Rahab moment today. Or you just say, Lord, help me to believe. I believe. You may receive Christ. You may transfer from where you are to where God has called you to be. Rahab became a central strategic figure of incomparable courage as she helped Israel to enter the promised land to subdue her own people. Think about it. She was helping them to subdue her own people. Whenever the army of Israel entered Canaan, Rahab acted according to a pre-arranged plan that God had divinely set her up right in the middle of the mix. And she hung out a scarlet cord. Hey, let me put this out there. Hey. She hung the scarlet cord out because that was what she was commanded to do. Okay? Red light district. I remember when I was a kid, I remember being with my family one day and we were going through my dad had made some sort of business arrangement or something with something that he had long before the days of eBay and long before the days of Craigslist and all that stuff. My dad had purchased something from someone and we had to go find the guy. Well, we ended up in some city we'd never been in before and we were making all these turns, no GPS. It's supposed to be over here, and we go through some really trashy area, and there was some red lights burning. And I said, Dad, what's that? He said, just keep your head, just look forward, okay? Okay, we're going to be out of here in a minute. I hope we're going to get out of here in a minute. And we finally made it to the destination, but we had to go through that district. We had to go through that place that's not so godly, okay? I remember being in Egypt several years ago. I wanted so badly to see the pyramids. My plane landed in Cairo at like midnight. I was like, man, we ain't going to see no pyramids here. And Brian and I were on a missions journey. And I said, you know what? We're going to see them one way or another. So I just asked somebody in the airport, hey, how can we see the pyramids? He said, well, they're closed, but you can see them. I said, well, I want to see them. So we hired a guy. We paid him $100 a piece to ride on a camel. And he took us through outside of Cairo and got us on the route to the pyramids. And Brian and I were riding on this old humpback camel. And I just realized we're in a bad spot. I was like, you know, can I get some blinders here? And I just said, Brian. He said, yeah, Pastor. I said, don't look to the right or to the left. He said, I know, right? I said, man, just don't look, okay? Because people were in that little red light district. No lights, but the city was alive. The part of it was alive where we were. Music playing, doors open, seeing all kinds of stuff. I said, man, just keep your head straight. Don't look to the right or the left. There's always those districts where the red lights are on, okay? She hung out the scarlet cord. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Rahab is talking to the spies here. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return and then go on your way. Now the men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land You have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you have let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all the family in your house, if any of them go outside of your house into the street, the blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath that you made us swear. Agreed, she said. Okay. Good deal. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, came back to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands." "All the people," he said, "are melting in fear because of us." How interesting that the scarlet cord, a disgraceful sign, became a sign of salvation. How beautiful to think that it's a scarlet cord of the covenant of God's grace that binds the word of God all together. He shed his what? He shed his blood. And in Christ Jesus, the blood-stained crimson cross of shame becomes the gleaming symbol of salvation. Rahab's faith in God engrafted her in unto a new family. Even more, Rahab was soon engrafted into a physical family of Israel, and she became the wife of Salmon, one of the leaders of Israel who supported Moses when they left Egypt. Rahab's husband is chronicled in both the Old and the New Testaments. You can find that Rahab, the prostitute, the harlot, became a woman of faith, and she shows up in the line of Jesus Christ. 1 Chronicles 2, 10 and 11, Ruth 4, 20 and 21, Matthew 1, 4 and 5, Luke 3, 32, all chronicle the line of Jesus Christ, and Rahab is in it. The woman who'd been called a harlot became a godly wife and the mother of Israel. She and her husband, they had a boy. What was his name? Boaz. Boaz would one day marry a widow woman named who? Ruth. God works all things together for the good. Using the humble, using the most unlikely, God raised up a harlot to become the great-great-grandmother of King David of Israel. Think about it. From the line of Rahab came the Messiah, the Savior of the world, our God, our King. There's no more touching story of God's glorious grace than the genealogical introduction of the birth of Jesus that includes the faith of a woman of the streets, that includes the faith of a prostitute named Rahab. And so you ask me, sometimes I think, God, how could you possibly use me? Some of you may say that today. God, how could you possibly use me? Such a sinner as I am. Then I'll introduce you to the woman with the scarlet cord, the greater grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not remembered for her sin, remembered for her remarkable transformation. Rahab, the woman of faith, is the ever-present message of God to you and I in my last message on monumental faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Listen, if he did it for Rahab, He can do it for you. If he did it for Rahab, if he transformed her life, she believed. And all of her former behaviors, all of her past, hinged on the fact that she simply believed. Would you believe today? If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I have some things that I'd like to just submit to the Lord, because I know He's the only one that can truly love. He's the only one that can truly forgive. He's the only one that can truly change me. While all heads are bowed for just a moment, you're here today and you'd say, listen, pray for me, please. Pray for me because I want a transformation in my own life. If God by His Spirit is dealing with your heart, would you simply just slip up your hand right quick and put it back down? God by His Spirit is dealing with your heart. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another? God by His Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Is there someone else? Praise God. I just want to tell you, God loves you. How much? He so loved you that He sent Jesus Christ to forgive you, to wash you clean in His blood. God loves you that much. Anyone else before we pray? Pastor, God's dealing with my heart. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. I see you in the back there. Could we all stand, please? Those, we had two to raise their hands. Would you, those of you that lifted your hands, just please come. If I have a couple of people here to pray with you, come on, dear. Come on, let's just believe God together today. Tremendous, tremendous decision to serve the Lord today. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, several ministers, some are coming. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you say, Pastor, I need to be washed and cleansed today. God will do that. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. on, let's give the Lord thanks for those who made a decision for faith today. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mothers, if you would, just come and join us here at the front. We want to pray for you. All of you moms, just line up here on these steps. Line up here on the front two or three rows. Some of you can step up on the third step there. Just all the moms. Come on, give our moms a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just face the rest of the crowd there. All the moms. Amen. Amen. All the mamas. Thank you, Mama. Amen. All right, close it on in. Close on in. Move on in. Just the mamas, all the mamas, all the mamas. Close it on in to the middle there a little bit, if you would. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All the mamas. Look at these moms today, would you? Come on, give them a hand today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray a prayer over you. That's right. Come on down, Stacy. Any more moms? Amen. I'm going to slide on around here because I'm not a mama. I'm a papa. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray over you today. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Some of them had to leave already with other plans. All the mamas, there you go. Come on, Denise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the gift of a mom. Thank you, God, for women of faith. Lord, there are probably moms that are represented here that could relate to a life of challenge and difficulty like Rahab. Maybe they were faced with tough decisions, hardship, disappointments. But God, it doesn't matter really what their past is. What matters is there was a moment when the mom said, "What must I do to be saved?" A mom who exercised faith. And Lord, many of us that are standing here today came up in a household where faith was served at the table. Mom laid away, made a way. Mom modeled godliness. Mom modeled tenderness. Mom modeled kindness. And Lord, there may be some standing here that are still challenged today because maybe they didn't quite have the path that most would choose. Maybe their mom did the very best she could do, but maybe she didn't make the decisions that we would have hoped. Lord, I thank you that your word says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Lord, I pray that no matter where we find our mom on our page of expectations, the reality of it is we have a mom. And we commit ourselves afresh and anew to where forgiveness is needed, we forgive. To where love is needed, we love. And God, to be the godly example today to our children and our grandchildren. of a woman who fears the Lord, a woman who loves God. We bless our moms today. We thank you, Lord, for all of them. Would you give unto them wisdom, discernment, powerful insight, gifts of the Spirit, and most of all, love, unconditional, for our children and for our grandchildren. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now I'm going to ask you to stand right here. Zach, grab the basket on the back side, on that side over there. Abdul, are you over here, my friend? Yes, grab that basket on the back side. We don't want to miss these ladies, and we're going to bless you with a gift today. We did not give you a flower that would die, all right? Amen? It's hard. We just didn't give you a flower to die. So, but we do want you to have soft hands, amen? How many of y'all like soft hands? How many of you guys like your wife to have soft hands? Come on. So we got you some Shea Butter Lotion. Is that cool? All right. And on the outside, it just simply says this: strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs without fear for the future. So we just dispel the spirit of fear in your life. And every day when you put your little shea butter on your hands, just say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm clothed today with strength. I'm clothed with dignity. Come on. And I'm just thankful, God, that I can laugh right in the face of fear. And when your lotion runs out, go buy you some more, okay? Okay, but this one's on us, all right? So as you pass by, those of you that are going this way, Abdul will serve you. If you pass by this way, Zach will serve you. Come on, one more time. Give it up for our moms, would you? Praise the Lord.
Moms today. Before you leave, we do want to make sure that we cover one other thing. Denise, would you go ahead and play that video, please?
From the surrounding universities to come here for retreats and conferences so that we can pour into their lives.
Let's see if we can restart that video if possible.
So we're here in the nation of Swaziland, the kingdom of Eswatini, and this is the ministry site that has just been acquired, and we want to build a ministry center here, and we want to bring students from the universities, from the surrounding universities, to come here for retreats.
So there's an issue with the sound here. I'm the same person that's on that screen, in case you couldn't tell. So I'm just going to talk you through it, okay? What you're looking at is the nation of Swaziland, also called the Kingdom of Eswatini. And I had the privilege of traveling to South Africa has it been a month already? The time is flying. But I met a man named Gabila who was here last week, who many of you got a chance to meet right here on this pulpit. And Gabila has a heart for young people. He has a heart for university students. And the university students are the ones who are next in line to be leaders in their nation, just like here in our nation. That age group is critical to bringing transformation. And we need Christian leaders. Amen? We need Christian leaders all over the world. And so what Gabila does is he takes in university students. He brings them into his ministry, people who don't know the Lord. they come to the Lord, or maybe people who grew up in a home where they kind of know about God, but they're not really formed and equipped, and they're not living out their divine destiny. And we want to make sure that that's happening. And so what the dream is for this land that you're looking at is to build a ministry retreat center where students can come from their universities. We can take them away and have them there for several days at a time, pour into their lives so that they can be transformed and go out and be a blessing to the university around them, so that they can evangelize others and bring others into the kingdom of God. This is a missions project, and it's just the beginning of what we're envisioning for this nation. And I can tell you that Gabila, this minister, has a gift for youth ministry, and this is good ground to invest in. And we want to give you an opportunity to invest today and to sow into the work of the kingdom in South Africa and in Swaziland and the other surrounding nations as well, Mozambique and Botswana. And so you can give online, you can make your gift, you can designate it as guest or missions if you're using PushPay. And if you'd like to give by cash and check, you can just write in the memo line, South Africa. And we invite you to make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. This is an opportunity that you don't want to miss to sow into what God is doing to produce fruit. And we believe that as we send out our seed, God will bring a harvest. He will bring a harvest of souls. He will bring a harvest in the kingdom. And we believe that you'll see even a harvest in your finances, because when you sow a seed, there's always a blessing in return.
Thank you, Pastor Anoli. And please forgive me. Last week, I was asking the guys at the end of the service, I said, so how was the missions offering today? And they said, what missions offering? I said, we didn't take up an offering, so I forgot last Sunday. So that's why we're bringing it back to you today. Gabila is in Virginia today. But what a project here, and together with about 12 or maybe 15 other ministries in Northeast North Carolina, we're going to see that a building is built there, and believe God for the future for students in those nations that are nearby. So thank you for your gifts to this project. And we've discovered that we have enough, somebody say enough, hand lotions that if you're a woman here today and you're not a mother, okay, we can bless you with one today. So if you'd like a lotion, some of you females, just come on up, and Pastor Joy has a basket here and she will bless you with one. Abdul has one on this side. All right, yeah, you guys go ahead and pass them out. Just stand here for a second. And listen, have a wonderful Mother's Day. There's a bake sale in the foyer. You need to leave with a cake or a pie or some treats or something. And we thank you for being a part of the worship service today. Praise God. Let's just go out in the blessing of the Lord today. Good to see friends today. Good to see Brenda. Haven't seen you in a long, long time. Good to see you. And my friends over here in the back, stand up, guys. So glad to see those guests from Barnabas House come from time to time. Pray for this precious couple. They're building a house in Northeast North Carolina, and they're moving. We just pray that this drive is not too far to the church. Come on, amen? Maybe not too far from the church. So glad to have you today. God bless you. And fellowship among yourselves as you leave today. God bless you.